Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is still Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson makes up the foursome.
Yes.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome again. Lovely Hello. To have you among us, of course.
Are you talking to us or the listeners?
I'm talking to everybody. Because
okay.
After last Monday's revelation that I don't speak on behalf of the UK, it appears I do.
No, I still do think you do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So some of us are enjoying a snowless time, but of course others are not.
No. People have still got the snow, have they?
Apparently.
People were saying that, weren't you?
It's like it was Cumbria or something. 3 days ago. I think it's got a little bit better. People still don't have water, though. That's troubling, isn't it?
I went without water for 2 days last week.
There was a wonderful story in South London where I think a Mexican restaurant was allowing people to fill up their water jugs and have a cup of tea, and also giving out free tequila as well, which is quite good.
I really thought you were going to say Mexican wrestler.
That would have been good.
Thames Water did an amazing thing on Twitter. They basically left 20,000 people in my area, or sorry, 20,000 households without water. Literally without any water.
I mean, did they leave it, or did the weather destroy pipes?
Yeah, but
were doing their best to fix.
Well, if you let me, Pete, I'll tell you. Mm. The funny thing I was going to say was they then tweeted, "Great news! We're giving away free bottled water at home base in Streatham." and literally everyone was replying saying, "Yeah, I've got two kids and no car. I can't really get to Streatham."
Yeah.
It's terrible. That terrible stuff. But anyway.
It's not great news.
The good news is for everyone listening out there, my water is back and I'm able to wash again, Marcus.
South London, the Wild Wild West.
It is. It's a barren wasteland.
The Wild Wild South.
Like Bear Grylls down there.
By the way, giving out that Mexican restaurant giving out tequila, if people are a bit parched and they haven't drunk a lot of water, yeah. It'll go straight to your system.
It's only going
to
make you go have more water, isn't it?
But it might make you forget you're thirsty.
I don't want water. Want more of this.
Yeah. Don't they make it out of cactus?
Yeah,
isn't that a watery plant?
Apparently so.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of water.
So what I'm saying is, guys, keep cacti in your garden.
That's something we've all learned.
That's another tweet Thames Water did. Yeah, if you kept cacti in your garden, you've been fine.
If the beast from the east has taught us one thing, it's keep a cactus or two. Cactuses is
I'll tell you who is a beast from the east. Really, sort of.
It's more east from here.
Giorgio Chiellini.
Yeah. I knew where you were going.
And someone texted me this morning, I half expected him to stop me getting a tea bag out the cupboard.
Oh, Spurs fans, I genuinely feel for you. It must be an absolute sickener, because it's one of those ones where they should, when I say should have gone through, I think could have gone through is perhaps a better word. I don't think, you know, there's a couple of chances in the first half, but it's so unlucky and undone by one of the canniest and most streetwise opponents you can ever come across.
Isn't it? I mean, Juventus could steal the Ark of the Covenant if they absolutely had to.
do it in a really unsubtle way.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want a team on a heist, that's your team.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they opened it like an Indiana Jones, Chiellini would just stare it down.
Do you know what it was? I really enjoyed the game. I was gutted for Spurs because I thought they did very, very well. And as people have said, the lion's share of the play across the two legs, they were brilliant in. And, you know, but I mean, what it brought home, I think, for everyone watching is the Champions League is tough. And there's a lot of factors. I mean, you know, look at the teams who have had far more investment, far more exposure to this competition than Spurs, and haven't really been able to crack it. I mean, PSG under their current iteration, haven't gone past the quarter final. You know, Man City have been Champions League team for a while, and they haven't really made an impression on it. Arsenal, of course, were part of the Champions League furniture for a long time, and given the infrastructure they've got, you would fancy them to be back in there again at some point.
Never, but just one final.
Never won it.
Wenger's only been to one
Chelsea's
final.
Chelsea won it once in 15 years of Abramovich or whatever. Alex Ferguson talks very, very eloquently in his book, his first book, about the next level, how difficult it is, the concentration you need to crack it. And obviously it took him a while, and it was such a big achievement. There was talk at the time, and I remember that maybe he wouldn't carry on after that because he'd done what he wanted to do. It's difficult, and the draw is so important as well. I mean, Arsenal fans who will no doubt be very happy about what happened to Spurs last night, some of them will know. I mean, we're getting to the stage now, I think, where we can accurately say that winning your group in the Champions League doesn't really count for much. It just depends on the luck of the draw. Spurs won a group containing Real Madrid and Dortmund, and they were the best team in it. Still got Juventus, still went out. And the concentration thing, and that's what happened with Arsenal, with Bayern Munich and Barcelona, of course. But the concentration thing with Spurs is relevant, because 3 or 4 minutes in that game at Wembley and a slow start in the first leg essentially did for them, and now they're out. But the rest of the time, they were very good.
Well, Chiellini spoke a lot after the game about experience, didn't he? And he was just very sort of been misreported a little bit, I think, about what he was saying about Spurs. He was quite magnanimous, and he said that they've fallen short a little bit here, but he did talk them up for the future. And he was talking about that experience, and that 3 or 4 minutes is a perfect example, because Pochettino said after the game that he felt Spurs had the better of the chances, and it's very, very frustrating for him because they dominated the tie overall, or the fixtures overall, but Juventus had effectively 3 chances and scored all of them. But you look at that and you go, well, yes, they did.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly what Chiellini's talking about.
And that 3 or 4 minutes, I mean, you may not be punished, but the point is you're far more likely to be punished against a team like Juventus in a Champions League game. They made a couple of mistakes, and that's what did for them. And that experience that Juventus have, was it 2 finals in the last 3 years? Is that right?
Yeah.
Four or so years of good, solid experience in the Champions League, which Spurs players don't really have. If they keep that team together, and I think they probably will, next season they'll be better for it. It won't feel like it now, but they will feel better for it. And all the stuff that Lampard and Gerrard and Ferdinand were saying last night, I think they're a great combo, those guys, was true and really rang true to me.
Yeah, and I think as well, with that Juventus experience and so on, the hunger as well. Now, I know some players show their passions more than others, but obviously everybody saw that moment where Chiellini made that block, and him and Buffon, just screamed, at each other.
Oh, they live for it. They live for it.
Absolutely. When you see that and you see the records, a couple of finals in recent years, they're going for their 7th consecutive Serie A title. You think to yourself, there is no disgrace at all from Spurs going out there, but the frustration is they could have gone through. And had they have gone through, I know the beginning chaos theory and all that kind of stuff, but you look at the sides left in the tournament, there's Real Madrid, of course, will be there or thereabouts, but they're not as good as they were in last season, certainly in the previous season. Barcelona aren't through yet, we should definitely say, absolutely. But let's just say if they are, they do go through. Again, unbeaten in La Liga, but it's not as
good. And Real Madrid, Spurs have already beaten them, by the way.
I forgot to mention that. When you start going through all the sides, you think to yourself, you could have a slightly different name on the trophy. I say slightly, a different name on the trophy that has been in sort of recent years. And I think it was a great opportunity for Spurs to really do something in this tournament. And look, they've had a great run, even though it was only just to this stage. But the frustration, I really feel for
them. I did as well. I was gutted for them. The draw is an important point to make as well. It's not making excuses for Spurs. They didn't score enough goals, and they didn't deserve to win because they didn't win. And we understand that. And Juventus deserved to go through. It doesn't mean Spurs didn't play better.
No.
Juventus deserved to go through. But they could have got, they could have drawn Basel in the Champions.
Well, exactly.
They could have drawn Shakhtar. They could have drawn Sevilla, who I think they would have beaten. They could have drawn Porto, I think they would have beaten as well. It does depend on the draw. But that said, the point about this whole sort of conceived wisdom about winning your group, it doesn't necessarily mean much because of the teams you can draw anyway, because there's always going to be a team that's going to slip up and come second, or there's going to be a group like Spurs' group with Real Madrid, Dortmund and Spurs in it. It's a tough old nut to crack.
And that Juve supporter who turned up with the Arsenal shirt. So
did he really?
Yeah, I saw that. He's sort of hanging out in an Arsenal shirt. So yeah.
But well done.
I love what they're saying about Chiellini, and the pundits are absolutely right about him with the ball at his feet, and I have no doubt Spurs would have been aware of that and would have targeted it. But part of me was really pleased to see a guy who can get to that level of football without really necessarily needing to have the ball at his feet very often. In 2018,
yeah, I know,
just with desire, grit, strength, completely. Hard work, experience, grizzled sort of wisdom.
But his skill is not with the ball at his feet. His skill is reading the game.
But it's nice that there's still a place for that. In the modern day.
I absolutely get what you're saying.
His skill is making the ball go away.
Yeah. It's not having to have it in his feet.
Yeah. Repelling it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Pirlo played in front of him for a number of years, so a little short pass there and you're fine. You know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But the skill is reading the game, positioning yourself, all that kind of stuff, which is hard to quantify, certainly, in social media. Clips.
And if you want a war, Chiellini will give you a war. If you're going to...
Any type of war.
Barzagli, too. 37-year-old Barzagli.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Man.
And Barzagli was naughty as well.
Yeah, he was very naughty.
But then you have to say that Spurs were very, very lucky not to give away a penalty
early
on.
That's true.
And that would have put a different complexion on the game. So it is sliding doors a little bit. It could have gone either way.
With Spurs, do you think... I mean, you've touched on it a bit there, Luke. Will this be another season for them where we hear things like they're still improving, they've gained more experience, next season is going to be a big season?
I think they are. I think
but they have to keep that squad. And we've said that for a few years, and they look as though they're not going to go anywhere, admittedly.
Well, last season, Spurs got 86 points in the league. I think it's hard to see them doing that this season. I don't even know if that's still possible. I haven't checked. That's a big total. But you're talking about a team who has no real history of being a decent, solid Champions League team. Mm. And they're looking like the start of... That is the start of what they're going to become. They've got a new stadium coming. They're going to be able to compete financially. I mean, Juventus, for all this talk of pleading poverty of Italian teams, Juventus spent 90 million quid on the striker.
Yeah, they do. Okay,
they spend more money than Spurs do on individual players. So they're still in the FA Cup. They've got a good chance. I think they're a solid pick to get into the Champions League again. They'll be better for this experience. They are an improving team on most of the factors you want to look at. I mean, they're second favourites for the FA Cup with Bet365. £10 on that returns £32.50 because they're in at 9-4. So ultimately, it's not going to feel like this at the moment for their fans, but there's a lot to be positive about. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot. They're all moving in the right direction. They know their jobs. The manager is a fantastic manager. There's no question about that. Mm. And if they had drawn Basel, if they had drawn Porto, they'd be in the quarterfinal. And if they got in the quarterfinal, they could have well drawn an English team, and I would have fancied them against probably any English team other than City. Mm. So, and then when you get to the semi-final, you never know what's going to happen. So I know it's a lot of ifs and buts, but the reality is the fine lines are very fine indeed.
One of the things with them as well is they have mobility at the moment. You do sense that they are not at the peak of what they can achieve. And like people talk about the worry of them losing players in the summer, but I don't think many of those players are likely to want to go with a new stadium coming.
Yep.
They're going to want to see what that is like. And the danger is when you sort of hit a ceiling and you feel like, well, we can't necessarily go one better than that. It doesn't feel like that's possible. Yeah.
Not like a Leicester, is it? Where you think, absolutely. Oh, this is a one-off thing and we've got no infrastructure or no tradition or no planning to repeat that again, because that's exactly what we've seen with Leicester, and that's what we expected to see. Yeah. You don't see that with Spurs.
Nothing about Spurs suggests that they've peaked yet.
Well, it's only going to hinge on the manager possibly leaving. I mean, that's the only kind of situation I can imagine Spurs dropping off massively.
It would be a great shame, as Jim says, new stadium coming. So, and with a bit of hard work...
Would it?
With a bit of hard work, they could. I know there's some stiff competition with this at the moment because the bar has been set very high, but it could be the most successful stadium migration that this country's seen.
It's a packed list.
It is a packed list, yeah. Of course, they've got to get up for Bournemouth away on the weekend. Manchester City, they were beaten at the Etihad. I mean, obviously, they went through quite comfortably. The die was pretty much...
Love to see the viewing
settled.
Figures for this game.
Yeah.
Because nobody was watching that, apart from Man City fans.
Well, and Basel fans.
Yeah, the Basel
they
fans.
They took over Manchester. Did you see them?
They had a lovely time.
Yeah, they marching through the streets and all peacefully.
Yeah.
Raucous, but peaceful.
Basel,
neutrally.
That's what we were impressed with the Basel fans.
Marcus, that's your motto, isn't it?
Usually.
Raucous but peaceful.
Yeah.
The Fulham way.
There's no raucousness. No.
I'm willing to negotiate on the peaceful bit, depending on the situation. Well, we're talking of Fulham. We were at Fulham for a Europa League match many, many years ago, Peter.
Were we? I can't remember.
Against
now.
Basel.
Oh, right.
And there was a man with his top off with a fine torso, and he was leading them all in a chance.
Oh, that's right. They were brilliant supporters.
They were.
We were all in a row, weren't we, in the neutral end?
Yeah, it's like we bought tickets together.
Yeah, so
I remember you talking
completely against my agreement.
It was an amazing game, wasn't it? Sorry, Fulham won it 3-2, didn't they?
1-0, I think.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, was it the away game they won 3-2?
I think so.
Basel had some good players then.
They did, yeah. But they were great fans then, but there they were en masse. And what I love about that is they've obviously bought the ticket. And if not, why not go and see your side, even though you're effectively already out? But to win the game was great for them.
Was that in their run to the Europa League final?
Fulham, it was.
I forgot about that.
Basel had Shaqiri then, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's where he came through. But it's a great win for them away from home. I mean,
it is.
You know, I mean, it's a dead rubber, as we've seen, and we saw that with the night before with Liverpool and Porto, which was a 0-0 again. I didn't watch that because, I mean, why would you? But great for them, and great to see Phil Foden playing, by the way, as well.
Yeah, the youngest English player to play in the Champions League knockout phases.
obviously very highly rated. It's a good endorsement by Guardiola and confidence in him. And
it's good
and
to see him getting a proper bit of game time as well, because we've seen him the odd minute here and there.
And I think the reason, and without being too cynical about it, Phil Foden is a good player, of course, and he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Get him on that jet.
But steady.
Steady.
You can't stop that every English player.
He's joined in with that.
And that British kid from Barcelona.
Get him
on the plane.
Get them all in. Interesting projects. The player that Arsenal have let slip through. But Foden... what I was just going to make a really cynical point, actually, is that it's actually quite conveniently nice for Guardiola to be able to play a player like that. Because he can say, every time someone says, oh yeah, money, 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 go, well, hang on a minute.
Yep.
Phil Foden.
Like this player.
But he has
Phil Foden to everything. Yeah. He sells to everything.
But he has played that he looks like he does believe in Foden. It doesn't look like it's a token.
He's a great player. I just think it's convenient as well.
It is convenient, but I don't think that's the reason
motivation.
For it. Yeah, the motivation for it. Do we think Man City, they can win the Champions League, can't
well,
they?
Well, listen, they're favourites for it.
No way.
They're favourites with Bet365 at 3-1, so £10 returns £40 should they lift the big-eared trophy.
I'd rather trust Bet365 with their predictions than ours, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going, can they win it? Bet365 saying, yes, they bloody can. They're favourites, you fool.
Pep Guardiola said the other day, didn't he? He thinks that City aren't at Barcelona's level yet. It's like, I see.
See you.
But you know, all the things I've just said about Spurs and the fine lines and the draw, it all counts for every team.
For every
really.
Team, absolutely.
Yeah, if Real Madrid, I take the point, but they have won it a couple of times in a row. If Real Madrid draw a really, really good team in the quarterfinal, there's every chance they could go out. I mean, we saw Guardiola's Bayern Munich. He was brought in specifically to win the Champions League, wasn't able to do it.
But then
part of the reason that he wasn't able to do it, sorry, Pete, was just because he got a tough old draw and there were some really good teams in it, and only one team can win it.
Again, the canniness is there, though, isn't it? Madrid did such a job on PSG the other night. They just went there and got exactly what they needed in a really routine, almost military-like way.
Do you not think that is the problem, though? It is experience. That's the reason why possibly Spurs went out. It is just having that Champions League experience every year and having it for like the last 10 years or something, and just knowing what it's about every single time.
Well, I'd love to see. I'm intrigued to see who Liverpool get in the next round.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those players don't have an enormous amount of experience going in latter stage. Well, some of them do. But the manager does. He's been there in the final before.
Right.
And
I was at that final as well.
Pete and I were too. Yeah. It was a wonderful occasion. They obviously got to the Europa League final. Not that long ago, under Klopp, of course. So they've gone deep in tournaments, Liverpool, but they don't, you know, a little bit like Spurs, you think, are they not as streetwise as certain?
Well, that's a really good point. Sorry, Joe, it's a really good point, because what you've got there is almost, with Spurs, they feel quite, not formulaic, but quite well planned.
Yes.
They execute things in a certain way, whereas Klopp's Liverpool, that's not really his style. They're far more free-form.
Yeah.
So you can talk about experience and canniness and grizzled wisdom and all the rest of it, but if Liverpool play that front four or five and score four goals in the first half an hour against whoever it is, because they can score against anyone, it's a different way of approaching it, but it's a bloody effective one.
Yeah.
You know, so there's more than one way to skin a cat, is just what I was going to say.
Absolutely. All I was going to say was that one of the interesting things as well, I think for a team like Spurs that are fairly new in the competition, that kind of unknown quantity... is kind of an advantage in the group stages that then sort of runs out by the knockout stages, where it is the canny operators that are, you know, this is knockout now.
Absolutely.
It's different. It's not the same. It's a
who's your knockout?
And it's funny how sometimes the Champions League is even another step above something like the Europa League, because if you look at Unai Emery,
all right,
who won, as you'll see from Arsenal tonight.
We've had your fun.
We're recording before Arsenal Milan.
We've talked on the continent about Unai Emery, who won the Europa League three times in a row with Sevilla.
Sevilla.
And he's been knocked out at PSG, despite having all that wealth and all that sort of resource behind him. And so, yeah, it's a fine margin.
Get back to the Europa, mate.
Where you belong. Oh, you're not even in the Europa now, because you've gone too far in the Champions League to be even considered for the Europa.
I'd love to belong in the Europa League.
Well, Fulham might ride again, mate.
Yeah.
Hey, saw them the other night. They were magnificent. Meat throw with
a
double.
Shut your fat mouth.
The fans love him, Peter.
I'm
they
not
really,
surprised.
Really
I mean,
do.
Bearing in mind, that lad signed...
Why just sent him off?
Bearing in mind... Alexander Mitrovic was signed on Snapchat. Now, that's got to be a first, and it's really paid off for them.
Mm. I bet Mike Ashley used the puking rainbow emoji. filter.
Before we go to correspondence, just a quick bit of Premier League, and then, of course, we'll talk more Premier League in the second half. West Ham against Burnley. Let's bring us right back down to earth, of course, with the Claret and Blue Derby, as I've just called it. This is a big one for West Ham. I mean, they really could do with the result. I mean, if you look at the table, which as much has been made of it, you know, they're only 3 points off the relegation zone. But with Crystal Palace playing Chelsea and Stoke playing Manchester City. This is a real chance for West Ham to play Burnley, who aren't scoring a lot of goals. Yes, they won their last game, but Burnley have got 40 points and haven't been in great nick themselves. West Ham are at home. They could do with a win here.
Yeah, and I think Burnley will be able to put pressure on them. And Burnley, in many ways, is a nightmare game for them because they've been good away from home. Mm-hmm. And they've almost filled that part of the puzzle that they were struggling with, Burnley. They're away form. They've done a lot better.
But they're not winning many games, as we've talked about.
No, but yeah, obviously, I'm talking about predominantly the first half of the season. Yep. But more recently, you're right, they've not been brilliant. But West Ham, you know, it's really easy, as I think we might have mentioned a week or two ago, to put a team in a box and go, oh, that's what they are. And what we did, what everyone did with West Ham under Moyes is like, well, Moyes came in, turned it around, they did really well, they started working a lot harder, they picked up a load of points, and so they're going to be fine. Well, they're not going to be fine because they haven't won a game, they've won one in the league in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and that was against, was it Watford at home they beat? And they're not looking great, they lost their last two, and they've conceded four in both of those games. So, and if you take into account the stuff that is reportedly going on off the pitch, Miguel Delaney wrote something in The Independent, which is very interesting to read. It doesn't look great for them. And you know what? My experience of West Ham fans is doing the radio and having phone-ins come in and West Ham fans ringing in. It's hard to not feel sorry for how that stuff has been handled with the new stadium and everything like that. I mean, we joke about it and, you know, it's funny and all the rest of it. But for them, it's a real... The heart and soul feels like it's been ripped out of that club to a lot of those fans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ill feeling isn't just the fact that the club is terribly run. It's the fact that the fans don't seem to be cared about very much.
But it seems to be the wrong fans are being represented when it comes to
that is what appears to have been reported. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to have the biggest stadium in the Championship, of course.
But what do you think about them on the pitch, though, Marcus? I mean,
that's what I'm going to say is a relegation is obviously not wanted by any club. I think it'd be a disaster for West Ham with all the stuff, as you've touched upon, going off the field. Which again is read that article by Miguel Delaney in The Independent if you can get your head around it, because it is quite complicated. The last thing they need is going down. That is a club who want to be seen. They've seen that they look at someone like Spurs and the way they've grown and so on, and they think, right, we want a bit of that. We've got the stadium to back it up now. We want to have a bigger fan base. We want to grow. To go down straight after, it could take them a while to pick themselves up from that.
There is actually resistance to that, though, isn't there? There is an idea that the club are sort of betraying its East End roots, almost.
I think that's definitely part of it. There's talk of... I've spoken personally to West Ham fans who are very angry about this idea that they've lost their identity in the first instance when they move from the bowling, and I think it's all couched with that sort of stuff. I don't think fans, when they think about it rationally, if they can, and think about it deeply, think, I don't want my team to be successful and this is the best way of becoming successful, so I'll agree with it. I think they all get that.
Yeah.
But I think the way the stadium's been... I mean, if you look at the stuff, bring it back to Spurs, but the way the stuff has been handled at Spurs, all the videos they're releasing about the way they're being responsible and nodding to their past and how important it is. I mean, stuff like they've taken all the aggregate from the old stadium, mashed it up and put it in the floor of the new stadium. Mm. And it's a really easy PR win. Arsenal did it with the clock, did they not? Put the clock up there. Fine, we're moving to a new stadium, but we had treasured memories of Highbury and we really want to maintain those.
Well, even Highbury, even the development of the flats, the pitch remains.
What did West Ham fans get? I'll tell you what they got. A load of lies. A load of absolute nonsense spouted by a bunch of people who don't know how to run a bath, let alone a club, and it's coming back to bite them. And if they get relegated, it's, I agree with you, Marcus, absolutely disastrous. Mm. Even more disastrous than it would be for a common or garden club being relegated.
And to just back you up on that point, I you know, you look at Arsenal moving to the Emirates and you think, yeah, they had great times at Highbury, and I went to Highbury a few times and saw them play. But you think it's the right move. A club like that needed to move into another place. You might say the same if Chelsea get a move or expand the stadium, whatever it is, the same with Spurs and so on. West Ham, I look at that and think, bloody hell, they probably should have stayed where they are.
Well, this is it. It appeared to be the right move, didn't it? It appeared to make a lot of sense. But the actual reality of moving into that stadium and the atmospheric problems that they've had there, it's just not what anyone was expecting or preparing for.
Yeah, because they didn't build the stadium, it was already there. Right, without further ado, let's have some correspondence with that man, Pete Diggory Donaldson.
Oh, make it more enjoyable, Pete. Let's not be so pessimistic like we have been on the first half.
I'll give you pessimism. Tom says, I currently have an issue of Football Magazine when Saturday It comes featuring a cover star, Sam Allardyce and Alan Pardew next to the toilet. I accidentally got a bit of wee on Pardew's forehead. I thought Pete would like to know if that's correct, or I would like to know. hello, Richard Price. Little update on footballers at weddings. I attended my friend's wedding, which was on my birthday. A very tall man was there. Vincent Pericard.
Oh, yeah.
He was, at the time, he had left Pompey. He was playing for Swindon. The groom's sister was dating him. The sight of him on a bouncy castle was certainly a highlight.
I think he might be married to the daughter of either the kit man at Portsmouth or a worker there who's been there. Did I tell you about Barry Harris? He's been at Portsmouth for like 60 years.
No.
I think it might be his daughter.
Basil Hazel.
Married Vincent Pericard. Yeah, yeah.
Basil Hazel.
Yeah, she's called Gary.
Gazzle Hazel.
Hello to Tom. Basically, he says that Richubka is... because I think we said last time that no one hates Paul Richubka. Apparently, Leeds fans very much hate Paul Richubka.
Yeah, I was going to say that there must be some Football League fans. Yeah.
Say what you like about Leeds, and we were very nice about them on our Acast Plus special because that O'Leary team was fantastic, but they will not hold back when it comes to finding things to hate.
Joshua from Sheffield says, as a long-suffering Arsenal fan, I thought my humiliation reached a zenith when Brighton beat us. I was, however, proven wrong. I was ridiculed for wearing my Arsenal top to the gym by one gentleman who looked at me, chuckled to himself and asked, "Why the hell have you worn that outside?" What made it worse was he was 65 years old and completely naked. Paul Salmon, hello Ramblers. I can no longer listen to stories of Kevin King and painting him in a bad light without speaking up in his defence. Look, Paul, I'm on the same page. It's these rabble.
Is this Paul, the no, Paul Salmon?
We're not painting him in a bad light. We're painting him in a very unlucky light.
Yeah. Paul Salmon.
Life is painting him in the unlucky light.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to have some respect.
I think I can speak on behalf of Jim and Marcus as well when I say we all do have like an affection for Keane.
Oh, we love Keane.
And a respect for what he achieves in the game.
But definitely, if he sits down on a park bench, it will be wet paint on it.
Yeah. And then get struck by lightning.
Well, yeah, I mean...
And chiefly, a lot of respect for what he achieved with this soccer circus as well.
This, don't be rude. This can't... I mean, this is kind of ties it. I'm kind of hoisting myself here by...
It's
Mike
happening
Keegan.
To you. Yeah. Even talking about him,
hoist
it's happening
away.
To you.
Hoist
Keegan.
Away.
Keegan was once sat in, basically, my dad used to work for British Airways. This is Paul Salmon, not me, not Simon. And on one flight to America, I joined him. I was 10 at the time and just starting to bloody love football. Keegan was sat in first class with his daughter and down the back in World Traveller, economy, was thank you for that, was a large group of kids who were on a trip similar to like what Make-A-Wish offers, basically, in the US. Terminally ill children having a dream experience. My dad explained to Kevin Keegan if he could come down and sign a few autographs for the boys who were into football from the group. Without hesitating, he said, "No, I'd like to go down and meet them if that's okay." He spent 3 hours with the group, missing his dinner, eating with them. One of them, while sat on his lap, was sick all over him, which caused no issue. Terminal child, Marcus. And except when disembarking the plane, a fellow first-class passenger said, "Typical footballer getting drunk and vomiting." That's the funny bit.
He got blamed for it.
He got blamed for being oik. It wasn't even his sick. Brilliant stuff.
I think to me as well, I won't speak on behalf of Marcus and Jim on this, but for me, there's no doubt in my mind that Keegan's a lovely fellow.
Oh, yeah,
Keegan,
absolutely.
That's what makes it so funny, because it's so profoundly unfair.
Exactly. To such a nice man.
To such a nice and talented man.
And that
man
was very
well.
Naughty of you to say. To
what do you mean?
Well,
Jim as well. All right.
That's the point. Anyway. Great to hear a Keegan story. Yeah. Where,
do you want one final one?
Keegan biting back.
Andrew from Wandsworth.
Oh,
dear Ramblers, listening,
South London again.
Listening to the most recent Shred episode, I was surprised to hear a mention of Paul Merton's wedding and David Seaman. I was at that wedding. I am Paul Merton's nephew. We've got Paul Merton's nephew who lives at the Ramble. We've got Russ Abbott's grandson.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, celebrities left, right and centre, mate. The bassist from Bastille.
Whoa. Drummer.
Drummer, actually. Woodsy.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah.
Woodsy,
Woodsy
the drummer.
Yeah, Woody.
So what, did anything to report, or did he just want to boast it was at the wedding?
The goalkeeper in question was, in fact, Peter Shilton.
Oh, hello.
He famously follows me on Twitter.
Famously, I took an equivalent penalty and missed. Yeah. He set up a smaller seven-a-side goal, which he then plugged a couple of times. He then plugged a couple of times while people took penalties. Either way, he stood there while people took penalties at him.
He was plugging up the goal.
I scored two of my three.
That makes it sound like he brought the goal with him.
Yeah. Maybe that was part of it.
That's class. I like
that. That's what he does.
Just cut the suit jackets.
Get this though.
I'll DM him. So I'll ask him,
I scored two of three, which isn't that impressive considering Bruce Forsyth scored three of three.
Oh, wow. Brucey bonus. Isn't it?
Yeah, we go. Nice to see you. To see you score.
Got to get just the show short, thefootballramble.com.
Nice to send you the wrong way. Nice.
Why did I forget an email address right as well?
Don't
good
be
stuff.
Rude.
Good stuff.
There Marcus. We are. Right. It's time for a...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Break.
It's like the People's Front of Judea. Nobody can make a decision. Meetings about meetings.
Indeed.
Can we get a Bruce Forsyth jingle, Pete?
Probably not now.
Well, you might be able to fucking put one together.
Good game.
good game. There you go. Oh, use this initiative.
That was incredible. That was like Steptoe doing an impression of it.
It was like Steptoe doing an impression of the crazed granddad doing an impression of Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
Now. Manchester United and Liverpool, the big one. Mm. It's happening this weekend.
Part of Sky Sports' patented rivalry weekend.
Rivalry weekend. Yeah. Bournemouth v Spurs.
Yeah.
There's another one.
Oh, West Ham v Burnley, the claret derby.
Absolutely. Mourinho versus Klopp, will there be mind games?
I don't think Klopp cares too much.
No.
Klopp basically is so emotionally led that if they win, he's really happy and hugs people. And if they lose, he literally walks out of interviews and press conferences. Yeah. There's no in between.
Yeah.
The mind games aren't really going to work. Him. No, you can't. You can't.
Yeah. Something that was confirmed on Twitter, and I think, Jim, you were always quite fascinated with the Jaffa Cakes link to Manchester United players, particularly Rio Ferdinand. Well, Brian McClair revealed on Twitter...
Chocky, use his nickname.
Go on, Chocky. that Sir Alex Ferguson used to encourage the players to eat Jaffa Cakes. Mm. So this was an actual thing.
This was a quick burst of energy.
That's right.
And apparently it was 5 Jaffa Cakes on a training day and then 3 before a match.
I'll get through a packet like that.
Yeah.
I can do a packet of Jaffa Cakes, I reckon, in under 2 minutes.
With a cup of tea.
No problem, Sam. Honestly, I can. Film it.
Definitely.
With a cup of tea, I could do 2 boxes in the same amount of time.
Oh, yeah. Pete,
I'm not doing it, though.
By the way, I'm on a health kick.
You, if you've got tea, you reckon you can do twice as much in the same time as Luke without tea?
That's a bold statement for me, isn't it?
Yeah,
look at the physical profile of both of us. No, I think that's unlikely.
Competitive eaters are legendarily quite thin. Yeah.
I should say that our cameraman Sam is in the room. Luke hasn't just called somebody Sam. He's got one of my names wrong.
Luke's gone weird. He keeps saying he's got an imaginary friend called Sam.
Pete, do you remember my name?
What?
Do you remember my name, Pete?
Always, mate.
Yeah.
Where do I send the death threat to?
Martin, normally.
All the heads I'm seeing around me are now just big Jaffa Cake.
Yeah, the reason I was fascinated by this was because I learned about it because just suddenly during a game, Rio Ferdinand was having a Jaffa Cake.
Yeah, that's right.
I had no context for why it was happening.
At the time, I remember thinking, because you know, you often, especially these days, see players come off the bench or go over to the bench and get a piece of paper with notes on it.
Mm. Yep.
At the time when Rio Ferdinand was eating those Jaffa Cakes, because he was eating them while the game was happening. Yeah. It wasn't a break in play. I remember thinking...
What a delicious treat, though.
Oh, yeah, fantastic, lovely. But I remember wondering if there's anything in the laws of the game which says, well, you know what, you can't eat while you're playing. Because if not... Right. I'd love to see someone get a 3-course dinner out there. A full roast.
Big turkey leg.
Yeah,
Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
And the kit man with a jug of gravy. Have a little dip. It's not in the spirit, I feel, but still, we'd like to see... Who was that footballer? Was it Roger Johnson? Is this where the whole drinking thing, when he was on a pre-season friendly?
Yeah, he had a pint.
Yeah, that's right. Was it maybe in the US?
I think it was a pre-season US tour.
You occasionally see footballers do it, run over to the crowd and have a sip of the beer.
I've seen John Dernan at Portsmouth do it. I might have seen Paul Gascoigne do it in a testimonial.
I remember. Oh, God, who was
that? That's a safe bet.
Who was the keeper of Hartlepool? Somebody threw a couple of, because he was fat, people would throw Mars bars and he used to eat the Mars bars.
That's going to make it worse.
No, he's going to make
it worse. No, I get a bit of energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my United Liverpool done.
Eat Jaffa Cakes. I feel that
this is a real opportunity for Liverpool because I've been saying for a few weeks now, and I think maybe you guys have been agreeing with me at least in part, that United, to me, feel like a team of individuals. Now, I know they came back and beat Palace and that was a good win for them and I don't want to take that away from them. But the very idea, I would argue, they went two goals down in the first place would say that they weren't, they're not quite clicking properly with Pogba and Sanchez and all the rest of it.
They dug it out, though.
They dug it out. I'll tell you what, I will give them a lot more respect, for sure, if they beat Liverpool at the weekend, because Liverpool have got a real opportunity here to go to Old Trafford and beat them, and beat them well, because going forward, Liverpool are irresistible.
Yeah.
Was it at Old Trafford when Liverpool ripped them to pieces and Gerrard scored two penalties and missed a third, and they tore them apart?
Yeah.
It's not
3-0 or 4. There's a couple.
You
of
remember
big
the game though.
They've had a couple of big wins in the recent years,
right? And I think it's poised here. It could, if it goes that way, it could go big for Liverpool. I'm not predicting it will. I'm just saying there's a chance it could happen.
Jim, yeah, do you think that Liverpool front line will have the Man United back line by the Jaffers?
I think they absolutely have a chance of getting them by the Jaffers, because they score so many goals away from home. They're joint highest with Lyon across the top five leagues in Europe. And I wonder how Mourinho is going to approach this game, because if he sort of just stinks it out and shuts up shop in fear of that Liverpool side, which is a completely legitimate fear, I mean, even if he wins, it's, politically, that's quite difficult for him.
United
will not have that. They will not have a spoiler tactic against Liverpool at home.
Similar to what happened in the Manchester derby, of course.
Quite.
Well, and against Spurs at home when they won 1-0.
Because he does this, but I think...
But they got the result. I mean, this is the trick.
This is it, isn't it?
We've spoken about this, and a lot of others have. Manchester United fans, will they accept that? Mm. Will they accept a home win against Liverpool 1-0, when they've basically said Liverpool are better attacking, we'll have to stink out the place and hopefully nick it, and all thankfully we did? Or do they think, no, sod that, we're Manchester United? But the fact of the matter is, Man United are still second. Now, they could be overtaken by Liverpool, but it is incredible how critical people have been, and we have as well, of Manchester United this season. They are still second.
David De Gea.
Dave the Save.
Big part of that.
Mm. Well, but Mo Salah's a big part of it. He's still a player.
I'm not denigrating his contribution. I mean, you can make a decent argument to say De Gea is a great crop of goalkeepers all around the world at the moment, and De Gea is arguably a pick of the bunch. He's a fantastic player, and that is legitimate.
All right.
But the reality is, you talk about Liverpool going forward against that Man United back line. I almost sort of sucked my air through my teeth going, God, I wouldn't fancy that. But the fact is, they've got De Gea, and he can make 50 saves a game, and that gets him out of a lot of trouble. If he's on form... You know, anything can happen. But Liverpool 13-8 to beat United at Old Trafford with Bet365. That's a pretty good bet. £10 that returns £26.25, including stake.
Could we see a big performance from Romelu Lukaku, building on what he's done in recent weeks? He was saying...
It depends on service, though, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does. Well, yeah, it depends how they set up, you're right.
He can't do it by himself.
Interesting duel between him and Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah,
I would anticipate.
Mm. Well, Lukaku said recently in an interview that he is Mourinho's... What did he say? What
was Sergeant.
Sergeant, thank you, was the title that he gave himself. And Mourinho does that. He likes a sergeant, or almost like somebody who embodies him on the pitch. Mm. Drogba was his man at Chelsea. Mm. And I think Mourinho wants that out of someone like Lukaku. And if he can get that, that will give Lukaku... You know, for Mourinho to say that kind of thing to Lukaku, it gives him a lot of... confidence. It gives him, you know, he trusts him. Do you know what I mean? And that's what they're looking for, is Lukaku to become that player. But as Pete says, he can only become that player if he's allowed to be.
Yeah. I think a lot, I've mentioned in the past that some of this thing about Lukaku's record against big clubs, you have to take it into perspective because of the way a Mourinho team this season, particularly with Lukaku, will set up against a good team.
Yeah,
it's not set up for him to achieve and score loads of goals. You know, that's just a fact. Mm. I'm not saying he's blameless, but it's definitely a factor. Yeah.
I can't see this match. I can only see this match going two ways: either a score draw, maybe 1-1, or Liverpool absolutely hammering Manchester United, and it being a proper kind of short piece, landmark moment where you sort of go, all right, okay, this could be the way things go for the next couple of seasons, because Mourinho's just not getting the best out of his players. He might leave at the end of the season, and then we go through the same thing in another year's time with a new manager.
Is your prediction still on the table? Mourinho off by the summer, is it?
I said by May, didn't I?
I think you said June.
But I didn't say which June.
Yeah, fair enough. So you will be right, because presumably before A, June, he'll be gone.
You guys are being very arrogant, assuming which calendar I did.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I just bring up the fact Brian McClair was the one who brought up the Jaffa cake?
Chocky.
What?
It's his nickname, Chocky.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Chocky McClair. Yeah.
Chocky McClair. Like an eclair?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a stretch, isn't it?
Cool. I know, it's terrible. That's why I said it.
have you seen his Twitter profile picture? I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
He's got a big old beard and a mobile phone that he's got the biggest kind of protective cover on his mobile phone I've ever seen in my life. It's the sort of thing you see on a building site. round a digital radio. It's so protected.
He might be
I've just looked at it. It's amazing.
It's a beast, isn't it? It's like a tank.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody get on that.
That is a definite takeaway for this show. This week.
And also, I think the text on the screen might be rather large. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it is. It's Brian McClair's own Twitter.
I just wanted to say, before we move on from Manchester United-Liverpool, that Adam Lallana back in action, making his first start since...
Wrestling a boy.
Yeah. Get him on the plane. Move on.
Excellent. Of course, his former club, Southampton, are away to Newcastle. Huge one near the bottom of the league. 16th versus 17th. There's your great rivalry or whatever the hell Sky Sports are doing.
People talk about players and teams having a winter break. Just go out the FA Cup, because Newcastle have got 21 days off after this.
Have they?
21 days.
Got a little prediction about Rafa, mate.
Oh, what?
Gone by the year of the rat.
The year of the raft.
That's because there's an international break as well, though, right?
Yeah, but also because Spurs went through on the FA Cup. Oh, yeah. They had a match for that.
21 days.
21 days.
So saying if you're not as good, you don't play as many games.
If Newcastle are beaten by Southampton, which will be an absolute crime because Southampton are terrible, you will spend a long time in the relegation zone if the results go that way.
Yeah,
you don't want to be spending 21 days in there, because you start to get used to it. I've heard.
21 days. What off-field stuff can happen in those 3 weeks that we can get our teeth into? But as I mentioned earlier, Stoke are playing Manchester City and Palace are playing Chelsea. Huddersfield are playing Swansea. This is a great chance for either side to potentially go 4 or 5 points clear of the relegation zone and climb a few places. This is a huge one.
I don't want to step on Pete's toes and jump in front of him, but Newcastle absolutely have to go for this. Mm. They've got to go for a win. Southampton are better away from home than they are at home. I think the atmosphere, I was down in Southampton doing a bit of work for someone else a while back, and the atmosphere down there seems pretty toxic to me. They're very frustrated with the manager. You mentioned Marcus earlier that you think that Pellegrini might go in the summer. I think that's absolutely nailed on. I think that's definitely going to happen. Southampton are in a position where they're using these games away from home as a real vacation away from their home woes. I mean, they've beaten West Brom, obviously, who are terrible. Actually, they've beaten West Brom twice because they beat them in the Cup as well.
Well, only West Brom have won fewer games than Saints in the league.
Exactly. But at home, particularly, Southampton are bad. They struggle for goals. The manager cannot change it during a game. Newcastle have got to go for it. And the reason I say that is because Benitez is very studious, isn't he? I want this amount of points from these amount of games. Yeah. I'm going to go about it. I don't care what anyone says. Mm. I'm going to set up in a certain way. I'm going to do what I want to do the most, and I'm going to try and get points from it. Mm. He has to identify this game as a winnable game.
It was kind of... not galling, but it was kind of upsetting to see how Newcastle sort of set up against Liverpool. They didn't concede a lot of goals. Fine.
They don't get beaten heavily, do they? They never do.
But I don't think Newcastle do concede a lot of goals this season.
No.
Their defence is quite tight. Jamal Lascelles have got them really well marshalled.
The only time they've been hammered, you'd argue they've been hammered, was when they were beaten by United 4-1. Mm. And they went a goal ahead in that game. Yeah. Other than that, they've not conceded four this season.
Yeah, exactly. So they're never going to... But I think they could have gone after Liverpool a little bit more and shown a little bit more.
Just try to attack them a bit. Well, Newcastle are now 4-1 to be relegated with Bet365. So £10 on that returns, £50, including stake, if they fail to beat the drop.
Oh, Donny! Let's move on.
They
swiftly.
Should have beaten Bournemouth. Those kind of results are just stupid.
They kill you if you're not careful. Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah. Move on swiftly from that to our best bet with Bet365, Luke.
I've got an exciting one.
Here we go.
So you guys would have become well acquainted with the Rodden family by now.
Oh yeah,
we've had Tom and Mark delivering losing bets, shall we say, failing to live up to the good name. What I assume is the good name of the Rodden family. Step forward, Emma Rodden.
Oh, hello. No. Here we go.
Hi there, Ramblers. May I introduce myself? Yeah. I am Emma Rodden, daughter of Mark and sister of Tom. And it's like a Lord of the Rings type intro. And I'm bidding for the honour of becoming the first female to sit in the Bet of the Week hot seat. On last week's show, Jim appealed for Mum to get involved, but despite being married to my dad for 32 years and raising 3 football-mad children, football is still a mystery to her. So come on, please give me the chance to restore some Rodden honour. Well, we're doing that.
Yeah,
we are going to do that.
Yeah.
She said, I don't want you to think that we're picking on Everton, but 13-5 with Bet365. For Brighton to beat them on Saturday is surely too high. Brighton have taken 10 points from their last 4 games in the Premier League, whereas Everton, as we know, are just not very good. So my bet of the week is to ignore all this both teams to score stuff that happened to my brother and my dad and just lump on £50, a straight Brighton win over Everton. Goodison's loss can be prostate cancer UK's gain. Yours, Emma Rodden. Brighton to beat Everton is indeed 13-5, and £50 on that outcome will return £180, including stake, should Houghton's men win again. All proceeds, of course, go to Prostate Cancer UK, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, begambleaware.org is the place to go. Good luck, Emma.
Something to look forward to. for the weekend.
Good luck to those seagulls.
Indeed. What else are we going to look forward to the weekend?
Well, because it is Sky Sports rivalry weekend, I asked people on the Facebook page who their rivals in life were. instead of the usual chutney of what you're looking forward to. Just thought I'd mix it up a bit.
Chutney!
Have you got any rivals?
Jim Campbell.
Yeah, well, people would probably expect me to say Carlos Tevez because I always say he's like a spoiled mercenary dickhead. But the thing is, that doesn't make him my nemesis because he just is a spoiled mercenary dickhead. There's no question of that.
To be a proper nemesis, presumably he has to know about you as well.
Well, yeah, quite.
I don't mean that as a dig, but
that's just a fact, isn't it?
Yeah. So you don't know what, Marcus,
all those things.
Jim Campbell.
Jim, fair enough. Yeah. Sticking with it. Yeah. Stephen Mudge has been in touch on the Facebook saying, my favourite rivalry is the Football Ramble versus the listeners. Which is absolutely true.
Yeah, fair.
Darius Panozzo, the brilliantly named Darius Panozzo. My brother is my rival. He had the career I never got, but I'm the older brother and therefore I'm way better. Also, it's nearly my birthday, so I'm definitely right, and I'm not petty in any way.
Yeah, fair enough. Pete, do you have any rivals?
The drummer/bassist from Bastille.
Yeah. Leicester University.
Leicester University, yeah.
Particularly the librarian, though.
Tim Cahill.
Mm. One of mine would be the lead guitarist or rhythm guitarist, I forget which, from One-Eyed Willie.
Let me finish with this one from Stuart Wallace. He says, I have an unknown rivalry with an old man in my gym. He continually manages to get a locker above mine and then proceeds to get fully naked and sit on the bench, legs stretched out, making it hard for me to get my locker to change. Mm. It has come to a head only once when I asked if he could move a little as I wanted to tie my shoe and he just glared at me. I started to tie my shoe. He moved in front of me bare-assed and started to fish in his locker. I have since moved my schedule around to avoid his nakedness, so I guess he's won.
Yeah, definitely he's won. Age before beauty, mate.
I wonder if that's related to the Arsenal fan earlier.
Yeah.
Could be.
There's a man at my gym who, I'm not very good at the gym, but I can only do weights because I find everything else very dull. But there's a man who always comes over and gives me unsolicited gym advice, which is the most unwelcome kind of anything.
Like what? Give us an example.
Just sort of like, you lean into that bit too much. I'm like, piss off, mate.
Is that appropriate behaviour?
No, it really isn't, is it? He's not even a personal trainer. He's just a dude that goes to the gym.
Is he going
to
mash your back up doing that? Piss off!
Either he's...
And then when I kiss him in the showers later, he's...
I feel like this might mean you are so bad at the gym. He's like, I cannot let this pass.
Yeah, I'm like one of those videos you see on Lad Bible. Yeah. Maybe like tied to one of those cords, just bouncing around.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're all rooting for Brighton this weekend, of course, apart from Everton fans, because that would be ridiculous, quite frankly. Oh, and maybe Crystal Palace fans
as well.
Depends
how much you hate. It depends how much you love charity, I guess. Mm.
Yeah, well, there we are.
Depends how many of those Everton fans are going to see the bigger picture.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Enjoy rivalry weekend.
Say goodbye, Jimmy C.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later, Marcus.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.